It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to a Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Welcome to our lineupmedia.fm studios as we want to talk about some Blues hockey. I can tell you that I was happy to play that intro for you as it's become synonymous with the Blues and winning, and they are doing some serious winning. And I'm so happy to say that in studio is the man, the myth, the legend. He does exist. It's not a phone call, somebody sounding like him. It is Darren Kimball in studio. What's going on, buddy?
Well, you know, I found my way here.
A sultry voice on the mic, too, yeah, boy. Listen to you.
It's kind of neat. You know, this first time I think I've been here with you in this new studio. So this is.
That's pretty, right. You haven't checked out the new digs.
I was here one time before, but I got lost coming back the second time. You know, I'm not the smartest cat in the world. So. But I like this. Everything's everything looks good in here. So we're.
Well, this is
good.
Just temporary stuff, too. Wait till the real stuff gets in. This is all
big
temporary.
Time.
Yeah, the structure is what to look at.
Yeah.
Also joining us, fresh off finals. Is our intern, Will Kendall. What's going on?
Nothing much. Glad it's summer.
I was going to say, I'll bet. Jen, marketing major at SLU, so I'm sure those weren't like the finals I took at in high school. I don't really know what else to say other than amazing. What a turn. And if you ever – now, listen, let me stop and say this. We all turned our anger, if you will – in game three to the officials, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying we blew a lead in the final minute of the game, allowed a minute, started off, instead of putting some of the blame on our own club and as to how we got there, we immediately said, well, if the refs wouldn't have blown the hand pass, we would have won the game. So I get it. Happy to oblige, but the reality of it is we put ourselves in a position to let somebody else dictate our fate, and that's what happened. Now, what a turnaround, though, of emotion. And I can't even get over, in my opinion, the dominance that we displayed in that game. And we have I know Coach Henson, it has felt all along like we could impose our will on them, and that's exactly what we did.
I think watching the game yesterday, Cromes, this is the game that I thought was coming after game three, because I thought all the pissed off, we're going to come and we're going to show up and boom, we're going to blow them out of the water. That's what I called that when we game three. You know, they got through game four. They found a way to win it. They hung on at the end to win the game, and they won. They come out, when you watch this game, and the defining moment for me right now is when as you were watching the game, I think it's Schwartz's last goal. Couture's in the corner. He gets beat in the corner, and he barely gets up. He's tired. They just look like they're fucking deflated right now.
Yeah, they do.
And you know, all the shit that goes on near the end of the period, you know, the whatever was going on at the end, all the nonsense, that shit goes on. So that doesn't bother me.
It would have went on the opposite way.
Exactly.
If it was us,
yeah.
If we were losing 4-0, yeah. We would have done the exact same thing. Try to let them know we're not going to go away. You're going to see us again in a day.
Yes.
And we're going to be here. So don't think it's over.
Yeah. And then you go through this process and when you watch the first goal, the reason they score the first goal is because the Blues have fucking hit everything. They've hit everything. Patty Maroon's coming behind the net. Carlson's got the puck, and he knows he's getting ready to get fucking hit, so he throws the puck away, and we score, and we get the shot, and it goes in the net. But it's a giveaway. So he sees someone coming. When you get hit, and you get hit, and you get hit, you tend to start making stupid plays in, and that's why you want to keep hitting these guys. And Carlson, he is fucking worn down, man. There's not much left there. And the Blues have done the right thing. They've keep banging the shit out of this guy. So everything the Blues have done, it's kind of weird because I've called it different. Because like I said, I thought they'd blow him out the last time. I thought they'd have to fight for this game. It's went vice versa. But the San Jose Sharks, to me right now, and who fucking knows? They look like they're dead. They look like they're beat up. They've been through war. And the Blues are still firing on this animal. And Tarasenko come alive again yesterday. You know, he get some points going, which is going to build his confidence up. And I still go back to where Binnington, this is the reason, because at the start of the game yesterday, they come out and San Jose come out on fire for about the first 5 minutes, maybe 8 minutes. And he stood his ground. And then the Blues just took this game over and just fucking dominated it.
Yeah, I agree. I would have to believe the San Jose Sharks didn't get here by not being able to, in my opinion, probably come out tomorrow night and give us at least a first period that makes us a little nervous, mm-hmm. I would think. I think if we maintain the course, so to speak,
well, they're
with the hitting and the things like that, because I feel like we're reaping some of those benefits across the board, both from we've imposed our will on them to the point where I think they're hurting physically, and when I say physically, I mean guys are going to the dressing room, yeah. So...
I'm not saying it's fucking over. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
San Jose's a veteran team. They're going to come back. They're still playing for old Joe there. You know, Pavelski has been around. Couture's been around. These guys have been around. So this is they have a good kick at the thing here to come in. They're thinking right now, if we can come in and get a good first period in, it seems like if you can get that first goal, things sort of go your way a little bit in this series. So if they can come in and score early, that would give them momentum, hopefully, to ride this out and take it home. But so the Blues, I'm just going by the third period and the second. God, they just dominated this thing. And I go to that last goal, and I'm just saying, Couture, he could barely get off his fucking knees, and he was deflated. And the play was still going on. He could barely get up. And I think they're tired. I really do. And I think the Blues look like they got some mojo going here.
Well, I will say, I had some back and forth. You know, we tweeted some stuff. I realized that there's a few Sharks fans following us that found us, and they like to answer a couple of tweets. And one gentleman, we kind of did some back and forth, and then he private messaged me, and we had a conversation, and he was like, well, you know, he said something to the effect, and I'm not going to quote who he is or whatever out of respect for the fact that he decided to take it private. But he says to me, it's obvious you've went after our top players with some, chippy hits. And I said, wait a minute. I said, listen, because he said, I appreciate your team's ability to play a strong physical game. And I said, well, number one, if you think that we play a strong physical game, then you need to increase your hockey knowledge, because we are hitting, but we're not Winnipeg. We're not Dallas. Right?
Yeah, like, but you're playing like it, though.
Yeah, I know.
I know. The Blues in this playoff series are fucking hitting everything.
Right? I know, but my point was, is he's acting like we're like Winnipeg and cheap and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, long story short, I just, he was talking about Carlson and Pavelski mainly, and I said, are you kidding me? Like, I guarantee you on our board in our room, it says hit Pavelski and Carlson as many times as possible. In their room, it says hit Petrangelo, hit Tarasenko as many times as possible.
For sure.
I guarantee you it says that.
Correct. Correct.
You know, neither team have choir boys on it. Okay. No. Did one of our guys maybe get the elbow up? Sure. They got one up too. It just it's almost comical though that their coach would come out and feel like they've gotten jobbed.
Yeah, he's a different bird. He's a fucking whiner.
There you go.
He is. But when you get into playoffs, coaches they get going down this shitting road, and then you know they're looking for any advantage they get, and you know even with Chief, and after game three's call, Chief, you know, he called the troops and said, "Hey, go out the fucking right way," because you're still thinking of it as a mindset that you're trying to get on the sides of the officials and get them back. So if you don't complain about the shit, the legal sort of maybe come your way, or the referees, because they read the fucking same news that you're reading. You know, they're not got blinders on. They're going to see which coach is cutting them down, which ones, and that could pay, because this refereeing system in the National Hockey League right now is a fucking joke, and they're all over the place, and you don't know what they're calling. It's almost like they're trying to be the people that are running the show here, and we want to put all the attention on them. But we'll get away from them because it's all about the Blues here. So, you know, let's go down that road on these guys that are playing right now.
I agree. I guess looking at it, any thoughts on the packed crowd at Enterprise Center for an away game?
It's just awesome, isn't it? It's beautiful to see.
I was going to say, as a fan, I mean, you know, and I say this all the time, what I think is great about both you and Rivs, and there's others too. It's not just you two, but obviously you two are on the show. You played at the Barn. I mean, what a place to play hockey, right? Mm-hmm. The atmosphere. It's funny, like when we get I tell people this all the time. I'm not trying to give you the old day speech, but I am, I guess. Mm-hmm. But when you get that atmosphere at a game right now, currently, you immediately think back to what it was like at the Barn. And the thing that I don't think a lot of people understand was it was like that every game.
Yeah.
And I think it was a product of the building and the way the building was set up, and it felt like everybody was right on. Is that how you felt, like everybody was right on top of you?
Yeah, but, you know, back in the day too, Crones, and I've said this on the show before, that when the fucking Jumbotron ain't there, fans had to make their own noise. And because you didn't have nothing to watch. So you and the fan, and I'm not trying to slap anyone by saying this, but back in St. Louis, there was when I was playing here, so they're in the arena, you know, you got 16,000 fans that are there. The St. Louis, the Blues had a following back then, probably about maybe 30,000 fans, you know, because everything's Cardinals here. But so when they come, they were diehard fans. You know, they were the ones that they didn't give a fuck if they sat in the top corner, but they were there to root on the Blues. They was a true hockey fan. So they made their own noise. It was the excitement, the fights, all the stuff that was going on. It was the fan was living in that. Now you're dealing with a Jumbotron that's bringing the excitement to a lot of these fans that come to the game now. So it's just to watch on the road, and because it was kind of comical yesterday. I'm sitting there at I'm fucking home watching the game because our tryouts were getting ready to go on, and so I got to watch the game, and I was sitting there, and my daughter was there with me and my wife, and we're sitting there watching this, and I look and they have a shot at the screen, and I'm going, well, fuck, there can't be that many fucking Blues fans, because I didn't know nothing about this going on down at the Enterprise last night or yesterday afternoon. Well, there can't be that many Blues fans at the games. And all of a sudden I'm going, well, fuck, they must be having a big old jamboree down at the Enterprise Center. So to see that going on was this town is they're ready, man. They're ready to roll.
Well, I'm excited about the whole thing. I want everybody to enjoy this. It's an amazing time to be a Blues fan. It's not over yet. I do want to say that, but we're about to get it down right here. A few minutes. Hopefully, we're going to hear from the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Sportcoat. I might call him Mr. Sportcoat. Before we do, though, hoping to make connections with him here shortly. Let's remind you all to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there, and more importantly, make sure you subscribe to the show as it's free, because I can't tell people how much easier it is to get that notification when the show's out, especially during the playoffs when you're not 100% sure when we're going to do the show. At STL Blues Podcast on Twitter, if you follow us and you're a Blues fan, we're going to follow you back. We picked up a ton of followers through this playoffs, and we appreciate it greatly. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page, click invite your friends, and of course, when you see the pinned post, comment on it, share it, and of course, like it. You can find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. Happy to have you guys connect with us there. To all of our partners, it means so much to us for your continued support. It starts with Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, residential, commercial, industrial. He's the man. Has the name that you know and trust. He takes care of people all over the Midwest, especially here in his hometown of St. Louis. If you have a job, there's no job too big, too small to get an experienced craftsman involved, second-generation craftsman, over 35 years of experience. And I'm telling you, folks, Everybody that meets the man tells me, they're like, man, you couldn't describe him more accurately. He's a guy that loves to look you in the eye and shake your hand. And if he tells you he's going to do something, it's getting done. Heating and cooling, construction, electric team already and fired up for you. That's innovativecompanies.com. To our friends at Buckingham Pest Control, giving away those tickets. I believe they're going to be giving those away sometime today for Game 6. Can you believe that, Kenny?
That's awesome.
He's something else, awesome. Isn't he? Yeah, and listen, I think he felt obligated because he's like, since we started doing this, we've been winning. So, but Noel's that kind of guy. He's having a great time. Things are going well. And we're asking you to give them your pest control business. Learn more about them. Just go to their Facebook page, Buckingham Pest Control. Right now, you have an opportunity before they give them away. We're going to get this show out as early as we can today. Go to Buckingham Pest Control. Check out the pinned post. You guys have an opportunity for Game 6 tickets. It'll walk you right through what needs to be done. But again, we're asking you to contact them for your pest control, as we need to make sure we support the people that help us keep the show on the air. Adam Smokehouse, another one of the quality places in St. Louis that help support us. Located on Watson Road, some of the best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. I promise, some of the best barbecue in the Midwest. I'm not kidding you when I tell you that. Once you get over there and try it, you're going to be so impressed. It's located on Watson Road. Open till 7, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Do box lunch orders for bigger office settings, parties, things like that. If you need catering, they do an awesome job with that as well. They do deliver to certain zip codes, and I know you guys can find them on Watson Road. And Mike and his staff do a tremendous job, but it's the name that I think of when I want barbecue, and that's Adam Smokehouse. St. Louis, here's your cue. To Darren and Jamie's good friends, the Nelson family with NelsonLandServices.com, their continued support means so much stuff. Stephanie, especially now, you know, you're finding out what kind of people we're talking about here as she dedicates her time, now her personal time, to helping this St. Louis group that's trying to make sure that these kids that get affected by cancer to play hockey get what they need and can just focus on the battle to get back on the ice so that they can just live a normal life. So, again, that's NelsonLandServices.com, five-star locally rated company with reasonable prices, and they do awesome, awesome work. So I these people that help our show stay on the air like this, you know, they mean a lot to us, and we're asking you guys to please support them, because without them, I'm not quite sure we could do the show. Oh yeah, that intro music can only mean one thing. He knows you're talking about him, Kimby. He can sense the force is with him, and he can sense that you were getting on him a little bit this morning before the show. That's the one, the only, on his own celebrity hotline, Synergy Hockey Skills. You like how he sponsors his own hotline when he's a celebrity? SynergyHockeySkills.com. Hey, we decided to start calling you Mr. Sportcoat, Jamie Rivers. What's going on, pal?
How you doing, boys?
Hey, Kimby's disappointed, man. He thought for sure he was going to roll in here and you were going to be in studio. He thought you had something planned for him today, I think.
What's that, a new hat fitting?
I watched him the other day on TV, and my kid goes, hey, there's your buddy Jamie. And I said, hey, Lawson, he thinks of me as an empty pocket now. That's all he thinks of.
Oh, boy.
I walked by him in the fucking hallway, and he don't even know who I am anymore. I said, is it that a son of a bitch?
Hey, I thought of you like that before. Like, what are you talking about?
Holy smokes.
Oh, my Lord. Hey, let me tell you, you're on it, too. So you're getting the text, too, when he's showing us his wardrobe beforehand. And, hey, guys, what do you think of this tie? You know, I'm just kidding. So, Rivs, man, I got to tell you, you know, it's getting close to lawn chair time because this is getting nuts. I guess, you know, we gave a few thoughts in the intro about the whole just craziness of the dominance that the Blues displayed in Game 5. I'll just let you take it over and give some quick intro thoughts.
Yeah, it was, look, I'm not going to lie, I was worried. Very first shift of the game, they come down and Evander Kane rips one off the bar. And then they followed up with another chance after. I'm like, holy fuck, this is going to be a long day. Not the exact start we wanted. But then the Blues bounce back. They start to take control of things. And what I really thought was great was, you know, Erik Karlsson, they put him in the lineup, which I'm not sure why they did that, but he's playing injured. And the very, first or second play of the game, he goes back to make a clearing attempt. And he's got no gas in the tank at all. And he makes a pass to Brandon Dillon, who is wondering, like, what the hell is this thing? And Oscar Sundquist one times the puck off the wall, and we score. And I thought that that was the difference maker. After that, it just seemed like everything was uphill for the Sharks. Everything was downhill for the Blues. And what I mean by that is that the Blues are running downhill with speed. The Sharks are lugging uphill. And it just looked that way. And then there was a point in the game where, what was it, 36-10 from the first period shots to the third period shots were the St. Louis Blues. It was just incredible the dominance that they started to show from midway in the first period through midway in the third period before some of the bullshit started. But, Kimby, you know, you're watching the game too. What are you seeing from the first period?
No, when we talked earlier, and I told Cromes, I said the play that you're talking about on Carlson, we were coming, we've been hitting the shit out of him. The Blues have been going and booming and booming and booming him. And I told him, I said, Patty Maroon's coming in. He sees him coming. He throws the puck off the boards. But that's all due, because you played the game and you've watched these guys. If you're getting run all the time, Rivs, you start to know that you're going to get hit and the puck starts to exit a little earlier and then not going where it belongs. And I thought it was a huge, huge goal to get, because the San Jose come out at the start. Bennington sort of held forward again for him. And then the Blues just took this over. And I was telling Cromes at the end of the game on Schwartz's last goal, Couture was in the corner, and before the thing was even, he could barely get off his fucking knees. He's been through war, and I just think the San Jose Sharks looked at this game. Now I'm not saying that, and you know they're going to give it all they can tomorrow. I understand that, but they just looked like they were fucking beat up yesterday.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was hoping you'd head with this. Is that, you know, when the series started. Let's go back actually further. When Winnipeg series started, I don't know if any of us thought that that was a great matchup for a first round, because you're looking at a team like Winnipeg. They're big guys. They play a physical game. It's going to take its toll on you, which it did for the Blues. And at one point in that series, I know we were all a little worried, thinking, whew, you know, they look a little bit slow and they're getting kind of, you know, run down. Well, we get through that series. And then we get to the Dallas series. Dallas is a little less physical than Winnipeg. And now we get to San Jose. In game one, we make a statement against San Jose where maybe we overhit. I don't know. I personally don't think that's possible, because I think that every hit you make in the playoffs pays off. And to my point on that one is now, like you just said, Kimby, this Sharks team looks like they're done. Like, not for the series, because there's two games left, a lot of hockey left. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But that being said, like you just said, Erik Karlsson's hearing footsteps. You know, he's still remembering the very first shift he played against Sammy Blais in game one, and Sammy Blais tried to put him into the bay right across there in San Francisco. Knocked him out freaking cold, you know? And now Joel Pavelski's doing the same thing. These guys are getting run down. They're getting beat up. They're getting hit. The Blues are gaining momentum with the physicality. And the Sharks are losing momentum with some of the physicality and then some of the bullshit at the end of the game where, you know, was it Michael Haley? I mean, come on. First of all, he needed a step stool to get a hold of Petro on that one, which, hey, no disrespect. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's had some really good battles in the NHL. But, you know, Pete DeBoer, he wants to, what, cry after the game about the officiating. First of all, holy fuck, before I go any further, let's go down that road. Pete DeBoer complaining about the referees after the game last night. Boys, can you think of anything more ridiculous in your life right now than the San Jose Sharks complaining about the officiating?
Yeah, I was telling Kimby before you came on that I tweeted at you. I mean, obviously you saw what I sent out, and I actually, we had a couple Sharks fans chirp in, and one guy contacted me privately and was like, well, you guys are taking runs at our best two players. I'm like, I guarantee you on your board in your room, it says for you to run our two best players. There's no choir boys out here.
But Rivers, you know though. Let's be honest with this thing. How that game ends, if the tables were turned, the Blues are going to do the same. You've lived that pattern down. You're trying to make a statement. You're trying to show that you want to. You're going to go after somebody, take some cheap shots, try to throw them off their game, so you're ready for the next. So I got nothing wrong with what San Jose was doing. I got a problem with the coach whining like a bitch, but I don't got a problem with what the players are doing, because they're trying to set a statement. So you know that's the way that history of the game's gone. We did that nonsense. You'd go out and try to fight someone back in our day, trying to set a statement to go into the next game. So they're doing that. I believe. And where you're going, I believe Because I thought this game that they played yesterday was going to come in game four. I thought they were going to blow the doors out of them after what the refereeing had done. But it, so it come a couple days later. I think, and you probably sat in rooms as well as I have, where they say, if we can come out and score the first or second, get the first couple goals, San Jose will get on their fucking boat and get going fucking home, fucking living with the Sharks for the rest of the summer, I believe. Don't you?
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this has been a wacky series in a lot of different ways, but I do think that the Blues coming out yesterday with a big start, I think it's massive, and it's in San Jose's building again. So again, guys, let's think about that. That's another road performance by the St. Louis Blues, to where these buildings that they play in, they're not friendly, easy places to play in. I mean, these are some of the hardest buildings in the league that they've had to go in and get wins at. So, yeah, you know, coming out, scoring the first goal, and bouncing back from that hit post, to me that's huge, because you guys know as well as I do, if that thing goes in, for whatever reason, probably a lot different game that transpires from that point on. And to Jordan Binnington's credit on that one, it hits the post, comes out, and then he's locked in. Like, it doesn't faze him. And that's the one part that we've talked about for so long, is his mental toughness and how he's able to just battle through these things. A lot of goalies would have been, you know, completely distracted at that point. They would have been off their game thinking, oh, my God, you know, they're seeing a lot of net. Not Binnington. He got they hit the post, and then after that, he went on lockdown mode. So credit to him for that, it, just as much as it was to scoring the first goal for the Blues.
Yeah, once we talk about like all the different things that go on within the series, it has started for sure. I mean, this whole thing started way back in January with Binnington, you know, and I mean, it's still like, it so is unbelievable to think that at that time where we sat in the standings, and then some things go right for us. The Binnington move obviously looks, which let's be quite frank here, which was probably a desperation move, turns out to be an unbelievable call. And everything that Coach Berube has done seems to work, which leads me to another guy that I want to ask you about. Now, listen, this is no disrespect to Robbie Fabbri, but has the Sammy Blais move been one of the most probably, I'm not going to say underrated because we have talked about it, but like kind of like, it, you know, Sammy Blais is not like a, you know, he's not going to win any Rookie of the Year awards, but has that move really paid even bigger dividends than we thought at first because of the role he's playing against a team like the Sharks?
I think it has. You know, we said it in the Dallas series, I think to a man, we said it to, in the Dallas series that, you know, he could be a guy that adds physicality, and he could, he's got speed, he's got some scoring touch, and, you know, lo and behold, he joins the series at the end and makes a big difference. And, you know, Craig Berube at that point decides to stick with him for the San Jose series. And this guy's had, God, I think he's had, what, 30 hits in the first five games. I mean, it's outstanding. And we go back to what I mentioned, the very first thing we talked about was his hit on Erik Karlsson. I mean, the very first shift he plays against Erik Karlsson, Karlsson comes creeping down the wall in the offensive zone, something he loves to do. And Sammy Blais just buries him. And, you know, of course, people around the San Jose Sharks organization, you know, questioning how clean the hit was, this, that, the other. Look, I'm not going to split hairs here. That was a hell of a hockey hit in my book. And that was a difference maker. That got Erik Karlsson on his heels right away. And it wasn't just Karlsson. It was several other guys. If you watch him out there playing with Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron, this guy's getting, you know, opportunities to make good hockey plays too. Shoot, he set up Ryan O'Reilly yesterday with a beautiful backhand pass that, you know, O'Reilly just misses for the open net, which would have made it 2-0. So Sammy Blais, in my opinion, has been a huge difference maker, and I don't see him coming out of the lineup. And Kimby, you can speak about this whole thing as well. Is I think that he's, you know, asserted himself into this lineup, and he's going to be a big part of the rest of the journey.
Yeah, I think when we talked earlier, I saw when the Winnipeg series was coming up, and Riz, we talked about it. We thought that was a perfect series for him because, you know, obviously the size, the hitting, whatever's going on, and you would think that it would be less, and it would be a different type of game coming into San Jose, but he's got the confidence going that he found in the Dallas when he scores early, and now he's carried it on to here. And the hits in this series, you know, I was on Twitter too and booming this, said, keep this hitting shit up, boys, because it will pay off in the long run. And I think he brings a big element that the Blues are needing, and it just carries on. And like I said, the San Jose, if you go near these defensemen right now, they're just throwing this fucking puck around. They don't even want it. And that's all these guys that have been going around hitting, you know, even Steen's been doing it. You know, the Barbers, these guys just go and hit guys, and it's paying off right now. And the Binnington thing, I'll tell you what, the Binnington really, how probably that really transpired is the biggest thing that happens is, because Craig Berube had him before in the minors, and the kid was Chiefs goalie in the minors, and so he's got all the confidence in the world. He knows about him because you find so many players and that are sitting down in the minors that, you know, they never come to get the chance to play in the National Hockey League. And I think the biggest thing is, so when Chief becomes coach, and it doesn't happen right away, but he gets to him. He puts Binnington in because he trusts in him as a goaltender. So Chief probably has to convince Army at some point in time, I need to go to this guy because I trusted him, and because I've had him before, he's done great things for me, and then that just falls in his lap, and then boom, everything just catches on fire, and there you go.
You know, you look back at, you guys know this. I mean, you've been in the league for so long, and you lived through some of the stories, and sometimes they were on your side, but sometimes they were the other team, and you look back, and you have all these great moments after it's over, and you go back and you start pinpointing times, right? Like, man, think about this and think about that and think about that. So like the Jordan Binnington thing just screams of that, right? Like, because listen, we don't even need any made up stuff. Like I said, I brought it up earlier. I mean, where were we on January 3rd? I mean, that's not like early in the season. That's the thing that amazes me. It's not like, yeah, man, a month into the season, this team was in last place. I mean, we're halfway through the season here. So that journey and the way that it started for them and then the way they overcome. Rivs, in your opinion, the fact that they came back from all that adversity, is that helping them now as they face these larger-than-life games every other night?
100%. I mean, this is the number one thing that any Stanley Cup championship team or any sport championship team, really, is they talk about having to have, you know, the battle scars of, you know, losing the big game and going through adversity and, you know, having to overcome things as a group. And you know, I always talked about the Washington Capitals that for years were that group that they just can't seem to get over the hump. And it seemed like that was their moment to be tested. Their adversity that was in front of them was, you know, just not getting to the goal that they wanted. And so the St. Louis Blues on January 2nd being in last place in the NHL, and then having to literally claw their way out of the basement in the NHL and go on a tear of all tears of games winning to get to where they're at. Not even now. Let's not even go as far as that. Just to get into the playoffs, for starters, was amazing. And so you better believe that they're pulling off of that knowledge that they gained in that whole stretch from January 2nd to the end of the season. You know, these guys are, every time something shitty happens to them, including the damn hand pass the other night, you better believe that this locker room is talking to each other and going, guys, this is nothing. Yeah. We've been through this bullshit before. Look what we overcame before. Look where we were. This isn't going to fucking derail us. Not this, you know? And so to me, the adversity, that's overcoming it. It's a huge part of why they're being successful right now.
If you, and Rivs, you just go back in hockey history just a little bit. We don't got to go very far, and I don't even like the fucking guy, but when Daryl Sutter comes into Los Angeles, they're fucking dead on the dog. They got all the talent in the world, which St. Louis had a lot of the talent, and they're down at the bottom of the thing. They barely crawl into the playoffs. So it's sort of, it's just the momentum that the Los Angeles rode, and they won the Stanley Cup that year. And I believe the Blues are on the same kind of journey they're on right now. That's where they're heading, but that's how it sort of started. You went from last. You get all the confidence in the world, and it was a coaching change, and it just brings new, for whatever Sutter did over there, if he brought a stronger mentality in there and said, you know, you got to quit this, or you know how the Sutter mentality is, that they're going to come in, there's no shit going on anymore, and not this, and we're here on this time, and all that. And I don't know, I'm not saying Chief did that at all, but whatever Chief's wave that when he brought in here, you just needed the team to buy into it. And so You got all this talent. They finally bought into it. And I believe the Blues are sort of on that same roller coaster ride that the Los Angeles Kings were back in the day.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like you said, the coaching changed too. I mean, that's a great reference point is using the Kings. And like you said, their journey to Stanley Cup. You know, obviously we don't know where this is going to end yet. But I do think that this group resembles the LA Kings from that championship season. And, you know, you just, there's something dangerous about a team that's been severely wounded and somehow figured out a way to stay alive and keep battling. I mean, it's something different about those types of teams.
I touched a little bit on this with Kimby at the beginning of the show, but I had mentioned, and I'll say it again now that you're on here, because I don't mind saying it, because I think it's I hate to say cuss words on the show, but it's fucking awesome, okay? And that's you and Riv, I mean, you and Kimby and Cam Jansen, and I can go on and on and on. I think one of the coolest things is that you guys that played here, now you're fans like the rest of us. You're not... Like, you guys aren't big-timers. Like, oh, yeah, you know, it's nothing. It's cool. You guys show emotion. You guys are fans. You get mad. You get happy. You get sad. So I got to ask you, as a guy that played here, just like Kimby, a couple of things for me yesterday that as a fan that, and I say this as a long-suffering fan, right? Two of the coolest things I saw yesterday, and I had to, that's why I sent the thing out at the NFL, watching the video of what went down at the Enterprise Center and at Ballpark Village when Tarasenko had the breakaway and then the penalty shot. These are buildings. There's no hockey game going on in these buildings, and they are jam-packed with Blues fans. And that emotion, like I'm getting chills just thinking about a town that was told a few years ago that we're second class and can't even support an NFL franchise. We've got people going places to watch an away Blues game in mass. And it's an amazing thing. How do you feel as a guy that's worn the jersey, the sweater, I know you guys like to call it that, and now here you are?
Well, I think it's incredible. I mean, I've seen the videos and the pictures and all the stuff from Enterprise Center yesterday. And I guess rumor has it there was 12,000 people in the building, and a couple people sent me personal videos from their phone. And honestly, guys, it looked like a real game was going on there. It looked like it was just another home game for the Blues. And they had, you know, the beer guys are running around, the 50-50 tickets are going, fans are like, and you look then, you know, then the guy would take his camera and pan it to the ice, and there's nothing on the ice, like bear. It's like a bunch of crazy people in a building, right? Like, so.
Well, it wasn't bear.
It's amazing.
It wasn't bear. Yeah. After the third goal goes in, it's full of hats.
Well, exactly. And, but yeah, I just think it's amazing that this is going on, and that these fans, for me, I'm happy for the fans, because they've wanted to let loose like this for years, decades. And now they have an opportunity, and everybody's still a little apprehensive because we're all, you know, we don't want to celebrate too soon, things like that. But these fans now have waited this long to be happy about something that I love that they're letting loose and that they're all getting to be a part of it. Older people who have been here since the beginning to, you know, 10-year-old kids or 5-year-old kids that are at these games with their grandparents. That's just an experience. So, you know, watching that and then being down at Ballpark Village yesterday as well and trying to fight through people just to get into the building before the game even started, it's pretty incredible, guys. And, Kimby, I know you've been here a long time too, and, you know, you've got to see that and just get a smile.
Yeah, it's amazing. What the St. Louis fans, and like you said, Rivers, it's about the fans right now, because they've gone through this for a long period of time. Back when I was there in 1991, when Holly, you know, went on his 86 there, we had a great team, and there, you know, it blew up on us at the end, and then it blew up on them again later on. So everyone walks these guys to the top of the hill, the fans to the top of the hill, the Blues event, and then there's been a letdown, and they go rolling down. So to see what they're doing, the fans are, You know, you don't get these opportunities very often, and it's always said from guys. I used to talk to Guy Lafleur and that, and Flower would tell you, you know, you don't get many opportunities to get to the Stanley Cup, so you treasure it when you get there. And Chris Chelios told it to me. It's just the ride you're on. So this is a ride that the whole city's riding right now. You got Cardinal players involved in this thing, and it just everyone's grabbing this thing, and it's just it's so nice to see.
Rivs, you said something that I want to touch on because I am, you know, a fan. I, you know, obviously didn't play like you guys. It is an amazing feeling to want to let loose. Like there's this part of me right now that wants to say things that you don't say, right? There's this feeling of,
well, go ahead, Cromer. You say things all the time that nobody wants to hear.
Go ahead. You know, but it's just like, it's this overwhelming feeling, but like, and I will say this, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts on this. So they come out yesterday, and I like right now, I want to talk a little bit about Tarasenko because I think at times people have been on him a little bit.
Yes.
I think
we should talk about him.
Well, and I think we probably very quietly didn't realize that he's had at least a point in every game. Craig Berube has talked about how he's liked his game and that he's played a different style for him. And he is, you know, he's been on the hit board. He's been on this. He's been on that. So for me yesterday, this was the coolest feeling for me yesterday. So like to your point, they come out, you're watching the game, you're all excited. Oh my God, what's going to happen? This is probably a defining game in the whole thing. And they come out, they hit the post, they get another shot, boom. And then, man, when Sonny scores a goal, you're like, holy shit. And then Schwartz gets the goal. We get a bounce, right? We finally get a bounce. We get the goal. And you're like, holy, we're up 2-0. And it just has a feel, right? And then the penalty shot. And you got a penalty shot here with a sniper, and you're looking at it, and I mean as confidently as he can, without any hesitation, he just fucking snipes the glove hand. It's in and out of the back of the net before the hand moves, and to me, it felt like a knockout punch. It just, I know the games, but it felt like that. It to me, the whole, and that's what those videos are. Watching the crowd at both those places, it felt like when Frazier went down to me. Now, I know it's not over, but that's what it felt like.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I mean, I was holding my breath too, and then, you know, he comes in and rips it high glove. Obviously, Vladdy listens to the show and he heard my scouting report.
Big Vladdy Daddy.
Big Daddy Vladdy listens to the show. He heard Rip said the high glove. So, you know, he didn't even think about it. Came in and ripped it high glove. I'm proud of him. But, yeah, I mean, what a hell of a goal. And you're right. You know, it's not the knockout punch for the series by any means. Certainly not on paper. But emotionally, that goal may have been the knockout punch because – the game changed dramatically after that point. And, you know, the Blues gained more momentum. The Sharks did very little after. And I'm anxious to see, you know, how the next game starts. Because we had a situation like this before. We've already referenced it, the Winnipeg series, where, you know, we come out for the clinching game, and they didn't have a whole lot left in the tank. And it was after a deflating goal by Jaden Schwartz, mind you, who had three again yesterday that we're quietly not talking about. But, you know, that could have been the moment. I guess time will tell, and we'll see tomorrow night. But Kimby, I don't know. I mean, that's what these guys are paid for, right? Those guys are money players. And like, just like if Brett Hull would have had that shot back in the day, it's not that I expected him to score, but you kind of do, no?
Yeah, and you know what? You talk about him getting a point. He really, and I've been hard on him. I called him out right from the get go, and I wanted more. But that might help his confidence, you know, Rivs. And I think that's what you're trying to get with Vladdy, because he gets down on himself. He wants to score. I know he does. And you know when you play playoffs, the other team, Tarasenko's name is in big letters on there, right with Petro and these guys. These are the guys we want to go after. So keeping them off the scoreboard is key. But now, if he can go out and have a big night, because I think they say he got like 4 points out of the ball game. So
did they give him the assist on the goal?
They should.
That's controversial, though, a little bit right now, because he should have had a 4-point night.
Yeah.
As it sits right now, he had a 3-point night.
But that's just confidence.
So they still screwed him out of one.
But that's that. But he's the guy. As crazy as it might sound, and you look at it, but he is the guy that you need to have the confidence besides your goaltender booming, because this is the guy that scores goals for you. And I know, like, you look at Schwartzy, but does he got more now than he had in the regular season?
He does.
So his confidence is going. This reminds you of the guy, like, and I'm not comparing them. They're not at all the same type of player. But when you get to playoff time, Claude Lemieux was a guy that would come out and he would somehow find a way and he would score goals. I think Warren Reichel did it 1 year. His name pops up. Drews for Washington did it 1 year. So these guys come out. Well, here's Schwartzy now. He does the year that he had is so. You know, he goes through a spell where he don't even score. You know, you don't even know if he's around, if he's going to be playing the games, for God's sake. He's getting to that point. And now look what he's doing. He's just filling the damn net, and he's the big guy that they're going to.
I would say it's an example of keep at it and keep working, because it is amazing. Game in and game out, Schwartz is, I mean, his motor has not stopped. I will say, the goals aside, watching his intensity level on the ice is insane. So
where's he from again? Saskatchewan.
Oh boy,
from the Saskabush.
I mean, hey, I'll tell you what. I'll let you get on, because I know you want to comment on Schwartzy, Riz. But you know, look at Shen, what he's doing too. Like, you know, he's
very
going,
quietly.
Yeah. Boy, he plays a hard. He's playing a fucking physical game. This guy is, and
he can taste it.
And he's getting chances to score. And if this starts getting in the net, if he starts slipping them by there, you know, this team's on full ride right now.
Yeah, look, those are two guys that are playing amazing. That whole line, I mean, and we talked about Vladdy first, and then, you know, Schwartzy. I mean, this guy, like you said, Combs, his motor hasn't stopped. And I think that's probably the only thing that kept him safe, honestly, in the lineup for a long time, was that he works so hard. If he had stopped working, I think it would have been easy for Craig Berube to say, you know what, take a seat. And then once that happens, you know, much like, you know, I don't want to say compared to Robbie Fabry, and it's not that I'm down on Robbie, but once you get scratched, any player, it's easier for the coach to scratch you again after. It just becomes easier. And so I'm glad that didn't happen with Jaden Schwartz, because obviously we'd possibly be missing out on some of this great stuff we're getting in the playoffs. But yeah, credit to him. He kept the motor going. And he kept pushing, and now he's finding the net, and he's finding it in bunches, for that matter. So hopefully he can keep that up. And then Braden Schenn, I mean, yeah, I think this guy's getting faster, stronger, better as this thing goes longer. I'm telling you, like in the first series against Winnipeg, and I kind of touched on it earlier, it felt like maybe he gassed himself out a little bit after the first couple of games, and you know, he's still a great player, but it wasn't quite that that pop to his game. And he recaptured it later as the series went on. I thought he had a hell of a series against Dallas. And then now in this one here, I feel like he's still getting better. He's getting stronger. It's like he's feeding the animal inside of him with all this stuff as the series gets longer and tougher. So that's a positive sign. And you know, he just that line itself, and the character of those two, especially Shannon and Schwartz on that line, that's big stuff for the St. Louis Blues.
Hey, Rivs, this is the when I was watching the game yesterday, I have, and I'll ask you this question because I haven't seen this in playoff hockey in a long time, but if you watch the amount of scoring opportunities the Blues are getting, like you're getting 2-on-1s, you're getting point blank shots, like Schwartzy's wide open on the side. It's like almost San Jose, and I think this goes to sort of San Jose because they got Burns and they're an all offensive sort of team. But I believe, you know, when you're watching this game, and I think goes, you know, back to when Chief took this thing over, and I think they committed themselves to defense to a certain point, and you know, get the puck out of the damn zone and let the forwards take it over, but. I just, San Jose, I think if you just continue to take care of your own zone, the Blues are going to continue to be strong down there and getting pucks out and your goaltender doing what he's doing. I think San Jose just gives up a ton of scoring chances all the time, and I think that's what's helping us get through this part.
Well, that was one of the knocks on San Jose. I guess, as weird as it is, one of their biggest assets is also one of their biggest detriments, and that's the fact that Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson play so much for them. And what I mean by that is those guys try to join every single rush, every time. And they've sacrificed D defense all year long. And there's several NHL GMs that, you know, and even Drew Doughty himself went on record saying that the Norris Trophy should go to a defenseman that, you know, plays both ends of the ice. And he even alluded to Brent Burns saying that this guy just, you know, all he does is cheat up the ice and go, and he scores points, but he's not exactly the most sound guy defensively. And we've seen that in the series, that those two guys have been a real thorn in our side when they're controlling the puck and they're able to make plays that very few other players can even dream of making. However, sometimes that instinct to jump on the offense first or cheat, you know, for lack of better words, to you're hoping that loose pucks go forward and they don't, they go backwards, or guy gets a hold of it and chips it around you. Now you're a liability defensively, and I think that's what's happening right now is, you know, they're feeling the pressure of this series, and certainly when they get down in a game, and those guys are trying to activate, like, at all costs, and the cost that's happening to them is that the puck's going in their net, or the Blues are going down and establishing a ton of time of possession in the zone and wearing the hell out of those guys. So, once again, though, I feel like finishing the hits like we have has paid dividends. You know, last game here at home, Alexander Steen hits Brent Burns in first shift. We score. Barbashev. Because Burns just throws it away. He doesn't really want to be hit. And he's a big dude. But like you said, Kimby, nobody really likes to be hit. And then yesterday, Erik Karlsson throws the puck away because Big Rig's coming down. And boom, we're on the board again. So I think these guys are feeling the pressure. And yes, I think they cheat on the offense and sacrifice defense. And the patient Blues are taking control of that.
Speaking of a couple names you mentioned there, I'm going to touch on one that I want you guys to talk a little bit about. When you looked at this series, there was no doubt Couture is having a on the stat sheet anyway. Up to this point, he had been having an unbelievable playoff series. But the one name that stands out to me, everybody talked about Joe Thornton. I'm so tired of talking about Joe, whatever. But the guy that worried me the most was Burns. And I got to tell you, I've watched these games, and at the end of the night, he just has been, I hate to say not a factor, but he's been un-Burns-like to me. Have the Blues found a way to neutralize him a little bit, in your opinion, Rivs?
Well, I just think that, you know, they're taking good routes on their checking, and they're tenacious on it. And nothing more aggravating for an offensive defenseman is to never be left alone. You know, you kind of want to drift off and be lost out there and then join the attack or jump ahead of guys and, you know, create outnumbered situations. Well, the Blues aren't letting that happen. They're in his face. And when they hit him, they're able to stay on the right side of the puck. And all that means is that they literally stay between the puck and their net so that they can continue to re-attack that player without him jumping by. And that's another reason you finish your hits all the time, is to make sure that you stay on the right side of the puck and keep that player on the outside. And I think the Blues are doing a good job of that. And then I think they're giving him a false sense of security too, because he carries the puck into the neutral zone and it looks like he's got all sorts of time. And then, Kimby, they're going into what we used to call the trap, New Jersey Devils style. Well, that kind of evolved, that strategy. And now it's like a moving wedge out there where, you know, your first guy pressures and it looks like he's not able to catch up to the player, but all he's doing is he's forcing him into an area where there's another Blues player waiting for Brent Burns to, you know, greet him and either, you know, attack the puck or attack the body. So it's a little bit of a cat and mouse game, but I mean, that's what it looks like to me anyways, Kimby.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, Riz, I know we're getting near the end here, but to me, if I was with the Blues organization, and obviously the video guy, I can do three things, because you know when you get to Game Six, not much is going to change throughout this series. You know, you know what you're dealing with. You know, there's a point where I'm sure Chief is looking at it and goes, we don't want to fucking overload their brains. They know you're resting. You're going to get mentally ready to play a game. But I would walk in the room and I would show the Steen hit that caused the goal when he hits Burns the first period. I would show that little clip. I would show the what was that? Oh, when the Big Rig is coming down and he throws it off the boards and we score there. And then the last video that I would show is Couture coming out of the corner when Swarchy scores a goal. He doesn't even want to get off his knee. He's so damn tired he can't get off. And that'd be the last clip I'd show. And I'd say, we have them if we want to go out and continue the process.
I agree. I think that'd be a genius move, and it pains me to say that.
I mean, we just there's a lot of coaching going on around here. I mean, I feel like Kimby should have his own sport coat on in here and tie.
Well, as long as we don't have to fit something over that melon of his.
Oh, no.
hey, he found that little button and has been dying to press it the whole time.
I love it. The crickets are still going, too.
I'm dying.
The funny thing is, that's what's going on between his ears right now. The crickets are just going.
This has been amazing. I know fans have been dying to hear from both of you guys today, and we're going to get the show out as quick as we can because that's the other amazing thing for the fans, and I know it means as much to you too. They're just right now, they're in 100% dialed in. Kimby and Henson aren't the only two with their chairs set up down on Market, I don't think, because this town right now is just dying for everything. I can't believe the number of people. Hey, how soon can the show be out? Because they're just dying to hear. Because, you know, for both of you guys especially, I think, and not that the others don't, but just our show in particular, you guys have kept it pretty real and honest the entire time you've been doing it. And I think when you follow guys, you earn a certain amount of respect for them. If you look back and say, look, they're not just telling me what I want to hear. If they're telling me, like to be quite frank, Riz, I'll give you some credit, which, God, this hurts. When at the beginning of this series, when you said, no, I like San Jose, I like it. I think this is our matchup. I like this better than Colorado. Now, I've thought you're nuts before, but I thought you were crazy. I really did. I thought when you said that you felt we could impose our will on their defense, I thought you're nuts. And then I got to tell you, after game one, I'm like, I knew he was nuts because it is amazing how we've wore them down and just stayed on them. And just it's been amazing. And like I said, if you have not bought a lottery ticket yet with your Sammy Blay predictions and your I want this team and all the shit you got going on, if you haven't bought a Powerball ticket, I'm going to drive your ass to a local Quick Trip and we're going to get one.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that myself too. I was like, holy fuck, I keep guessing right.
That's crazy. I'm like, let's do a little quick business though before you go. And maybe you don't know because I know how things get, or maybe you can't say, but you know, a lot of quiet on the Vince Dunn front. Is that not good?
I honestly don't have any inside scoop on that. I mean, players alike and management and everybody, I mean, they're going to be tight-lipped on a situation like that. He's around the rink, so that's positive. Nobody has decided or come out with what exactly is going on. Obviously, we know he got hit in the face with a puck, and that stings. It's never fun. Whether he broke something or not, I'm not sure. Craig Berube says day-to-day. We know in the playoffs that could mean anything, so that's certainly not something we can reference. But hopefully he's being truthful. That's what I'm holding on to on that one.
Hey, Rivs, when you're around there, just let me ask you. So if you take him out to McDonald's, is he eating his cheeseburger through a straw or is he eating it through his teeth?
Well, I took him out the other day, right? And so when we sat down, I had a fork in one hand and a straw in the other. And I asked him which one he wanted to eat lunch with.
And you're not going to tell us which one he grabbed. Oh, okay. Yeah, I had a feeling.
I can't tell you which one he used.
See, true man of the organization. Look at you. Toeing the company line. No Twitter alert from Rivs today.
Yeah, that's me. Toeing the company line. That's
yeah. All right, we'll just have to live with it because that's that would probably tell us all we need to know. If it's through a straw, it's not. I mean, I don't know that we'll see him.
Still play though. We can get to that point eventually, but it's just maybe
you can play with that.
Yeah, you can play with that.
All right.
Okay. I've seen it.
Okay. Well,
I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
can you imagine the wrecking ball that broke Kimby's jaw? Oh my lord!
You've had to bring the barbed wire in from the farm to get that all.
Did you really get your jaw broke?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Fight or
Caterpillar puck? Almost went out of business after that. He broke the fucking wrecking ball.
Yeah, that was a bottle of Jack Daniels and didn't end up the right way.
Really?
Yeah.
I was gonna say this sounds like story time with Uncle Creepy is what this sounds like. Are we going to save that one, or are you going to elaborate?
Well, we'll save that one.
We'll you save it. We'll use it as a celebration story.
And that's where I'm going to end today, because something amazing happened last night, Riz. Besides the game, something else amazing happened yesterday. And when we start telling stories, you know, as we all age and our children get older and become more aware, we have picked up a lot of followers on Twitter, right? So I always go through on the notifications, and when I see them, I just hover over it, and you get an idea real quick if they're a Blues fan. And we always say, if you're a Blues fan, we're going to follow you back, right? So I hover over them. You know, every now and again, you'll get some bots or whatever. But so I'm hovering through them last night, and who decides to start following the Blues NHL podcast? One London Kimball. So I'm starting to wonder if we're not going to need to watch our tone a little bit around here, because we're
all over now.
His daughter, a senior in high school now, right? Yeah. So you're definitely old enough to know what's going on with the old man when he starts piping off a little bit.
Well, I knew things were different when Mama Kimball was listening. So
hey, you know what's funny about that though? I sent my wife and daughter go to the game the other night. Game four, I guess. And so they're at the game, and we had tryouts going on through our car show program right now. So me and Lawson were that way, and I'm sitting at home, and so they come home, and my wife walks over and goes, do you know this guy? So I look at the picture, and so London had got up and taken a picture with Twister.
Yeah.
So
Twister, yeah.
So she's sitting there. So, and then my wife put on Facebook, but it was kind of neat, because they had a comment. Well, my daughter's wearing my son's AAA Blues jersey with Kimball on the back. But so Twister, as crazy, as goofy as he is, I guess he figured it out. It's probably my family member. But so Twister goes over and talks to him. But I think my wife was just, what Twister said to my daughter meant a lot. And so that was, you know, it was kind of neat, because Twister and my wife posted it on there. But I would just, it's a neat thing, and a good, strong alumni, when you got a guy that can say something like that to your daughter that means something. And I'll thank Twister that later on my journey here.
That's what it's all about, brother. You know that.
Yep.
We all look after each other in the end.
Yep.
Well, I don't know that there's much else to say other than we will reconvene back here on Wednesday. And we're going to have two types of shows, and I know how I want it to go. So we'll just leave it right there. Rivs, I know you're busy, busy, busy man, but we want to thank you, SynergyHockeySkills.com, for everything you got going. I know you got that adult camp. Can we confirm or deny, will Kimby be making an appearance at this adult camp?
Well, I haven't talked to him yet, but I was certainly going to throw the bait out there for him to come on out and have some fun and make a few bucks and drink a few beers and teach some adults how to play the game the right way. And at that point, we can tell a few stories and have a few good laughs. So, yes, there will be a contract drawn up between Mr. Kimball and myself, and we'll see if his attorneys accept it or not.
Well, I didn't want to assume. I mean, I knew there was going to be, like, drinks. There was going to be skating. But when you said adult, I just, like, I don't know. I don't know if he qualifies yet. He's still a kid.
Very loose use
still
of the
a,
word.
Still
yes,
a kid at heart, but... Well, listen, I know you got that going on at SynergyHockeySkills.com, got the kid camp, stuff like that. And again, I know you spend a lot of time with the amateurs here in St. Louis, and we thank SynergyHockeySkills.com, of course, for allowing us to have the celebrity line. Even though you're the only celebrity that ever calls in on it, I figure I'll take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, take what you can get, right?
Yeah, and of course, our friends, the Nelson family. I know you guys, being good friends with the Nelsons, not only love their kids, but are very, very proud to be associated with a family that's with Stephanie taking her time, as busy as she is. The St. Louis thing that they're doing for these kids that have cancer, what an amazing thing.
Yeah, it's a great project. It's a great thing to be a part of, and it's amazing when people, like you said, have busy schedules like that and have a ton of their own stuff they have to worry about, but they, you know, they reach outside the box and give more of themselves for somebody else who needs it. That's always a bonus, and that's what it's all about, being involved in hockey.
And last but not least, I'm going to officially throw this out there and say our good luck charm, because things really started to go the right direction when Noel Buckingham gets a hold of us and says, hey, I want to start doing some stuff with you guys. Game six ticks again. Now, the real test will be and I hate to jump ahead, but if for some reason we find ourselves playing hockey in a couple weeks, if he gives away game six ticks to the Cup, I just put a lot of pressure on him. I will say he's officially lost his mind.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what's great about Noel coming on too? Yes, things turned around and we, you know, the season seemed to get better and all that. But because of his pest control, we've seen less and less of Gary Henson too. So
oh my God. Jesus. Oh Lord have mercy. Well, yeah. So anyway, I'll tell you what, to all of our partners out there, including Noel and Buckingham Pest Control, who'll be giving away those tickets sometime today. So make sure you check out their Facebook page. To Adam Smokehouse, I know they have the ribs. He told me too, he's got guys coming in saying, "I'll take the ribs." I'm getting bills. I mean, I get a bill on PayPal every now and again from Adam Smokehouse, and it says the ribs. I'm like, what is going on around here? But
that's funny because you're getting the bill. I'm getting royalties.
Yeah, well, I see how this goes. This is typical. So, yeah, I'm wondering, is Kimby familiar with the ribs? Because here's the problem.
We'll have to introduce him one day.
Because here's the problem. If I take him over there, there's going to be a Kimby. And I'm afraid I'm going to get stuck with that bill, too, however that goes. But
you see, what we do is we bring Kimby. We order the ribs and we walk away, and then Kimby pays for it.
I like that. That's a whole lot better.
Why would things change? Right?
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. So, yes, our friends at Adam Smokehouse, guys, check out the best barbecue in St. Louis. And, of course, we never can forget our friend Randy Green at InnovativeCompanies.com. Hopefully, once we get through this and ribs, you have a minute of your time. We can get back over to Adam's and have Randy down and invite him in for some great barbecue. InnovativeCompanies.com. I know you've met him, Rivs. I don't lie when I tell you he's a guy's guy, and you get that sense when you shake the guy's hand, he's going to get it done, and he doesn't lie to you. I mean, he's telling you the truth.
Yeah, no, he's an awesome guy, and the fact that he's a guy's guy and somehow you cross paths with him is a miracle to me still. but, no, he's a hell of a guy, and obviously the reputation of his company speaks for itself, so don't hold back. If you got any work to do, get a hold of Randy Green.
Well, Rivs, I'm sure you have no less than quite a few things to do today. I know your head's going to explode trying to pick out what sport coat and tie to wear for tomorrow if Mama's not going to take care of you.
Right now, my wife's about to punch me in the face because it is the only morning I get at home. And she's like looking at me. She's about to draw blood here too. And I'm tearing down the eye of a barrel here soon.
Maybe we should have her on. Maybe she could tell us a few things about old Rivs that we may not know.
No, we're not giving her a microphone. You guys will learn too much about me.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I'll give her 20 if she hits you with a fork.
This shit, you better pay her already. That's been done.
All right, Rivs, get out of here. We know you're busy, and we'll see you on Wednesday, my friend.
You got it, buddy. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. The one, the only, thank God. Rivs. Yeah, great stuff. Kimby, I'm glad you were able to make it in today. I don't know if this is the start of something special here on Mondays. I don't know what your schedule's going.
No, we go back to, I don't know. Yeah, I think next week I get a shot at it too, but it's a good, it's good to be back here. You got to do it over the phone, and it's not as real, so it's good to get back in.
Yeah, but I know it's hard for you, and I know you want to do it. I mean, I know. Well, I gotta ask you. I'm gonna ask you one question. So, you know, a guy like yourself comes and does this show. You played. You know, it was a long time ago. You played, but you've made this your home. You're a fan. It's got to feel pretty good though that you've had so many fans that are like, "We miss Kimby." Mm-hmm. You know, we because I think I told you when we first started this. And you've got the personality. You always wanted to do it, but I don't know that you gave yourself enough credit. I think a lot of times you get that stigma, right? Fighter, you know, come on. But you were really good at it, and I think the fans have really, really taken to you. And I am your friend, but I also do this with you. You've gotten even better at it over time. Like your analysis is pretty spot on, and you sell it like it is, which Blues fans love. So it's got to be a pretty awesome feeling for you that the fans miss you when you're not here.
Yeah, and I think the reason I do that, Chrome, is when you played here and you'd go out and talk in the community to a lot of people, you know, they know their hockey, and they're, like I said before, they're the lunch pail crew, the ones that I always got along with anyway, and they would talk to you, and you're not going to bullshit them. So, I'm not a person that's going to lie to anybody about anything. I'll tell you what I think, and, you know, whether it's good or bad. And I just, going on here and with this Twitter too, you know, you get going and you start to reconnect with a lot of people, and you know, just you say what you do. It's either people like it or don't, and you just stand by what you say. And I think that's what St. Louis fans are basically are. And so, hopefully we can continue down this road.
Yeah, because it is, you know, if you're not on, if Riv's not, they miss you. They don't miss when I'm not on, but that's fine. That's to be expected. So, hey, I appreciate it, man.
You betcha.
Yeah, and you better go home and tell that daughter of yours to click unfollow. No, I'm just, it's your account. She better not follow your personal.
Yeah, she's been on there looking at it. I go, oh, what are you going to run into now?
Oh, boy, here we go. Will, I know you're the silent assassin over there. Did you enjoy yourself today? Or I mean, you're interning. Are you learning anything?
Some things. I mean, I've kind of got a bit of a hockey knowledge because I didn't really start watching until I was a freshman at SLU and I was living amongst the enemy.
Yeah.
And so it's great to see just all the puck watching that I've seen from San Jose because, as a result of hearing things like they're getting worn down. And it's finally, it's also good to see that it's shoes on the other foot.
Those are the things that I want you to learn. Looking for and glad to not hear is that you've learned that you can go to Adam's Smokehouse, walk in and order a ribs, and I'll get a bill. Unless it is you I'm getting the bill from. So that's good stuff. But, hey, we're happy to have you. I know you're going to be here with us every Monday in the summer. Gym turning, as everybody likes to say. But I'm glad you're here because you come by it honestly. You're a Cardinal fan. But you've become a Blues fan, just like so many people over time. So welcome to the family. We will say that for sure. And again, to all of our family out there, we know you guys support our show. We thank you so much for it. Well, we ask you to just stay with us for this ride. We're going to be on here as long as the playoffs go. And then obviously throughout the summer, you know, you get the occasional special show from Rivs or Kimby, like, you know, when they talk a little bit about the draft or some of the things that go on, free agency, things like that. You know, you'll hear from him occasionally. I know Rivs has always, if he had the time, wanted to take that time to interview some guys that he's associated with in the game and just maybe do some special stuff. But all of you guys staying with us and being a part of this journey, you're all part of it. We appreciate it greatly. And there's only one thing left to say. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.